And I think one of the neat things is that I have been so blessed with the young folks that God is bringing along to this fellowship, whether it be in areas of worship or teaching or outreach or healing and other gifts. There's a great sense I have that the church is in good hands. And it's just given me a tremendous amount of pleasure to just see these folks raised up and to watch them sort of step out. And so they're sharing with us, this next generation, we've already had some good testimonies. This next generation is sharing some of the DNA markers of Ascend Church. In other words, what makes us who we are? What makes Ascend Church Ascend Church? There are many churches in the city. There's many churches in the world, and that's okay. There needs to be, in my opinion, a stream of unity between us. But individualism is not a problem. And so we've gone through, we talked about the word last week, and Sam brought that, and that teaching is on the website if you missed it. And now this morning, George is going to come and she's going to share with us about worship. And so I'm excited and I'm blessed. And so, Georgia, and I just think that I just want to speak over you, Georgia, that I believe that God has a tremendous opportunity for you in regard to this city and what he wants to do among not only the Fenua, but the people of this place. So I'm thankful for you and I just pray that you would bless us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
With me for one sec. All right. Good morning, everyone. I just want to FYI, my niece has spilt water all over my leg, so I wasn't that nervous to get up this morning. Okay. 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 I'm just going to start with a quick prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, that we are family, and thank you, Lord, that I feel the love and support from everyone. I just pray that I'm able to be the same for everyone else. Yes, Lord, I pray that you, for your divine intervention this morning, I pray that you use me as a vessel to share your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, gosh. I'm more nervous than what I thought I'd be. So this week is my turn, and I'm going to be speaking a little bit about worship and what worship means to me. I'm going to be touching on a few personal experiences, but if you don't know me, my name is Georgia Barnard, and I've been going to Ascend for about 2 years now with my husband, Matt, there he is, and what we love and what we fell in love with this church was the authenticity in the word and authenticity in the worship as well. But I grew up here in Osura, and I've been a Christian ever since I can remember. My parents brought us to church every single week. And we never missed a week of church because we made up half the congregation at the time. And most of the band. A few of them here today. So my mum was the worship leader. Well, she still is. My dad's a sound man. My sister is a vocalist. And her husband is as well. My brother was on electric guitar and I was about 14 when I picked up the bass. As you can imagine, it was bigger than I was. It still is. But I love playing music. And me and my husband are part-time musicians now. We play music around town. Some of you guys come out to watch us, which is really cool. And I love playing music, and I love to worship God as well. And I'd like to say, considering my upbringing, that I've always had a natural heart of a worshipper, but I can't say that's always been the case. For me, worship was something that I had to learn, and I had to learn what worship is. And what I mean by a heart of a worshipper is being able to disregard those distractions in life that get in the way of our relationship with God. Because, well, what is worship? I used to think worship was only singing and lifting hands to God on Sundays, but I've come to understand that over time, it's so much more than that. The dictionary defines worship as this: an expression of reverence and adoration for someone of high authority. And in my case, there's no one of higher authority than God. The Bible tells us this in Matthew 22, verse 37. You shall love the Lord with all your you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And in Ephesians 1, verse 22 to 23, it says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So going back to that definition of worship, is it truly reverence? Is it truly adoration if God isn't the highest authority in our lives? Could we have things that we put in our lives before God that hinders our relationship with him? For me, learning what worship was meant discipline, it meant sacrifice, and it meant vulnerability. And that's my first point for today, which is vulnerability. Worship is vulnerability, which is so funny to me that I'm talking about this, because if you know me at all, vulnerability is not my strongest quality. And it's something that I continuously have to work on. And I feel like that's quite a common thing, especially amongst Kiwi culture and specifically Māori culture. When I was growing up, I saw vulnerability as weakness. But I've come to learn that vulnerability is strength. Vulnerability allows God's strength when we're not strong enough. If you want to turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. This is the part at church where I'm trying so hard to get there. And then they start reading it. Then I miss it. And I'm still unzipping my Bible. So you guys there yet? I'll give you a sec. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This scripture reminds me that I don't need to do life by my own strength. I don't need to carry these burdens on my own. I mean, I've had a relationship with God ever since I can remember, but I wasn't always totally vulnerable with God. I thought I could do life by my own strength. So when I was younger, I didn't understand why people raised their hands in worship. Like, what was the point of that? That's what I thought. And yes, I was on the worship band since I was 14, and I truly loved Jesus, but I didn't understand why we raised our hands, and I had all these walls built up. It wasn't until I was about 18 when I thought, why don't I just give it a go? This was a big step for me. As I said earlier, vulnerability is not my strongest point, not only with God in my heart, emotionally, but in front of my peers as well. So I was so shy and ashamed of looking vulnerable and looking like what I thought was weak. I went to Excel, which is a Christian school of performing arts, a few years back, and we had worship every week. And so one day during worship, I thought, what's the worst that could happen? Maybe I should try raising my hands for once. And in the moment I raised my hands, all my walls came down. And it sounds so cheesy, but that's the way it went. I don't think I've cried so much during worship. It was an amazing feeling of relief, and it felt like what Psalms 143, verse 6 says, which is this: I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like parched land. And in that moment of vulnerability, I didn't feel my weakness. Instead, I felt the Lord's strength. Matthew 11, 28 says this: Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and I will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It took a step of vulnerability for me to allow God to do his work, for his power is made perfect in my weakness. I raise my hands in worship now because that's my way of surrendering to God's authority. It's an action admitting my dependence on God and honoring God as the highest authority in my life. So this is the second point I have today. It's worship is sacrifice, which I'm realizing now sounds kind of funny. It's not the sacrificial worship in movies when they throw people into a volcano. I'm talking about the sacrifice, like sacrificing the desires of the flesh. So this could be giving up an addiction, giving up alcohol, giving up time, giving up money. In order to surrender the desires of the flesh, we need to make sacrifices. When the disciples, as they followed Jesus, they gave up everything. No money, no bag, not even a second tunic. Like, could you just imagine, not a second tunic, like, well, I need a whole suitcase. Instead, they had to live by faith, knowing that God would provide their needs. If you'd like to turn to Luke 9, verse 57, and while you do, I'm having a drink. That was Luke 9:57. It says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Following Jesus, making God the highest authority, means giving up something. And sacrifice can be different for everyone, and it could be a continuous thing. For me, sacrifice was a relationship. So long before I met my husband, Matt, I was in a relationship for 3 years with a boy who was Mormon. Ooh, was that you? I was 16, 17, 18 at the time. Very naive, but I was in love. So if you don't know anything about Mormonism, just know it's not Christianity. but he was lovely, you know, and I worked so hard to ignore our differences. And everything was great as long as God was never brought up in conversation. So as long as God never came up as we're talking, everything was good with us. God, church, and the very foundation I built my life upon was never talked about with the one that I loved at that time, which is crazy. I didn't honor God as the highest authority, and I was putting my desires before God. I put a relationship before God. But thankfully, the Lord had bigger plans for my life. And my dad did too, as he was praying that we'd break up every day. Thanks, Dad, he's over there, you could thank him. I had to take a step and make that sacrifice. I finally put God first and surrendered my worldly desires. And to be honest, I still loved him when we broke up, but I loved God so much more. And the Lord has blessed me tenfold, I must say. Hey, baby. but this is when worship became more than singing on Sundays. It became a lifestyle, putting God in all that I do is worship. So Hebrews 13, verse 15 says this, to 16. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices is pleasing to God. This brings me to my last point today. It's called worship regardless. Worship is so important as a child of God, regardless if you're having a good day, a bad day, if you're in the mood or if you're not in the mood. So worship regardless of your circumstances. I remember as a child in church, during worship, me and my siblings weren't allowed to sit down during worship. They know what we're talking about. You know, we'd get the eyes from Mum. If any of you know what the eyes are, you know what the eyes are. She's thankfully not here today. If you don't know what the eyes are, you're lucky. So yeah, we'd have to stand for the whole time during worship, which as a kid, I didn't get it, but there was such a good lesson to be learned. It taught me that our circumstances may change, but God doesn't. He is still the highest authority regardless. I learned to worship as a discipline until it became a natural response. Worship is something that sometimes needs to be intentional until it becomes a good habit. We might not always be in the mood to worship, but it's usually in that time when we need to worship the most. Psalms 34, verse 1 says this: I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. I just want to invite the band up. Are you guys doing the last song? No? That's fine. Oh, not quite finished. That was like my outro idea, like, you know, we're going to get the band up and they're going to like set the tone. Oh, you could hum if you like. That's okay. So I don't worship because I have to. I worship because I love to. Worship is a lifestyle that acknowledges God as the highest authority. It's surrendering the desires of the flesh and pursuing the desires of God. This means making sacrifices, becoming vulnerable, and worshiping him in the good times and the bad. Okay, that's your cue.
Praise the Lord. That was amazing. A few points that just came out of that I just want to acknowledge as we have the little ones in here that Georgia mentioned a couple times. Hey, my parents, you know, drug us along to church every Sunday. Those are parents after my own heart. Amen. You guys are supposed to clap at that. And then she, you know, that point about getting the evils when you don't stand during worship. You know, it's like there's certain aspects of that Christian walk that we just need to do as a discipline, that we just need to do as a choice, as a sacrifice of praise. So I just think that as we continue to just sort of pursue vulnerability, for some of you, understand, it's not natural. Amen. It's a choice. It's a discipline that you make. Because, guys, intimacy has never come without vulnerability. So, Father, I thank you for this word that Georgia has shared with us. I thank you for the heart that just clearly and obviously came through as she was preaching, Lord. I know that there is a voice that you have given to her, and may it be loud. May it be clear. May it be a clarion voice to our nation and beyond as you heal this Fenua and draw people together. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. And all those agreeing said, amen. Amen. Hey, we're just going to get on with the days, guys. We're just going to say God bless you. Catch up with someone. Go grab them and go out to lunch. Enjoy. I heard it's supposed to be 30 degrees.